We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
And David, great to have you on again. Did you see this news, you know, probably 2-3 weeks ago? And what was your reaction? Because I would imagine maybe you're not too surprised that this is kind of the mess baseball finds itself in right now.
Yeah, I remember saying to myself, uh-oh, here we go again. So I realized that this story was going to have legs. And the reason is that there were players who were chirping. And anytime players chirp about an issue, and especially when they're not all saying the same thing, when they're not united, where position players are saying this isn't good, when pitchers are saying what's not good, everything's fine, and when you've got a collective bargaining agreement that is going to expire here on December 1st, you put all that together, and what comes out is a story that's got plenty of legs.
Like, I am not a fool. Like, I know baseball essentially, and you probably remember, essentially just openly ignored steroids for a while because it was good for money, it was good for business, and seemingly at that time it was good for baseball until everyone decided maybe we shouldn't promote cheating the way that we are. This feels kind of similar to that, except for it's been going on even longer. Is it just as simple as, like, in the last 10 years, you think, David, that people have started to abuse it to a point they can't ignore it anymore, or have they been abusing it really bad for a long time?
So that's what I just spoke about in Nothing Personal, and I want to say, because you have the point exactly correct, the real issue here is that the substances have now become performance-enhancing substances. They didn't used to be that. What they used to be was for command, and we wanted our pitchers to use substances because we don't want to hit batters. We don't want our batters to be hit. We wouldn't tell on pitchers and have the umpires check on opposing teams' players when they were just using regular substances. But when we saw the ball start to do things that balls don't normally do, that's when it starts to be too much. Because then it's not just for grip or command. Now you're using it to enhance your performance. And that has become a regular thing. And MLB just said, we got to stop this right now because there's no offense in our game.
Well, I think it goes back to that. Like, I think Rob Manfred is almost, weirdly enough, and look, I'm not a defender of Rob Manfred. I think he hates baseball, David, and I just don't think, as a result of that, he makes a very effective commissioner sometimes. But he had no way to win in this. He either does the crackdown in the middle of the season and the players and the pitchers hate him because he chose to do this, or he's the guy who ignored the next performance-enhancing scandal in baseball.
Yeah, so first I would just say that he doesn't hate baseball, but what I do know about Rob is that he's in a position where he's got to answer to owners, and owners took an absolute bath during COVID, and they've got to find a way, not just with bigger national broadcast deals, but they've got to find a way on a granular level to get revenues increasing. And one of the things that Theo Epstein, who's working on this, and other people think, is that the way the game is played is not the way the owners want to see the game played, because it's not the way the fans want to see the game played. We're a long way away from that marketing slogan, chicks dig the long ball.
Yeah.
That's a long time ago. People don't love strikeouts and walks and the true outcomes. So they're trying to find a way to get more balls in play. And to do it, you got to make the ball just do what it normally would do and not spin in a way that makes it unhittable. So you're right, he's in a no-win position, but he's doing his job, and I don't blame him for that.
Talking to David Sampson, former Marlins team president, also has his podcast Nothing Personal on CBS Sports HQ, where he does a great job, of course, going over exactly what we're talking about a little bit here today and among many other things. And what do you think Major League Baseball is going to do in the next month or so? Because there's been some reports that suggest that maybe by middle of July, they could have some universal substance that's once again approved for all pitchers that can help out. Is that quick enough?
Well, I think what they should do is like what happened with the European Super League. I think that league lasted 24 hours. And I think that that memo that MLB sent should last 24 hours. I think that until they come up with a universal substance or an agreed upon way to enforce it, other than umpires checking the underwear of every pitcher every inning, which is what I guess is going to happen. So we're going to see everybody's skivvies. I think that they should have waited and then come out with the union. But there's the problem. they can't work with the union the way the NFL did in releasing their new COVID protocols for next season. MLB and the union don't work well together, and they're trying to negotiate a new CBA. And that's what I think is at the core of this, is that MLB is not willing to sit with the union, and the union's not willing to sit with MLB and come up with a solution that's actually good for position players and pitchers and owners, because that solution does exist. And that solution is a substance that pitchers can use that's more than rosin, but less than spider tack.
How much truth do you think there is to some of these pitchers? Tyler Glasnow certainly has been the one that everybody's been talking about recently with, unfortunately, he's got a UCL injury, and he's blaming it on baseball and the ability for them, or this, the ability for them to take away the use of even some of the basic substances that have been used for quite some time. Do you buy into the fact that this could lead to injury?
No, I buy into the fact that it can lead to worse performance, which can lead to less money earned in a free agent contract. I think that what Tyler forgot to mention is that when Tampa goes deep into the playoffs and he's pitching more innings and getting more wear and tear on his arm and throwing the ball, even without substances, that goes 95, 96, 97, that's not natural. We've been trying to get rid of injuries my whole career in baseball. We tried to figure out a way to have players not get injured, because if I told you the number of millions of dollars that are spent on injured players, it would blow your mind. And I don't mean tens of millions. I'm talking about hundreds of millions of dollars every year spent on employees who can't do their job. And that's what players are, and I love them, but they're employees of the team, and you're paying them a fortune not to work when they get hurt. So we are aligned with the union. We don't want the players to get hurt. It's not in our best interest for them to get hurt. But the way pitchers pitch now, you just see injury after injury because we baby them at the minor league level. They don't get a lot of innings in. We pull them after going two times through the lineup, and then we wonder why they keep getting hurt.
See, I think this is part of the reason, like, Jacob DeGrom's getting hurt, is because he added 3 miles per hour to his fastball in an offseason. Look, he is maybe this might be the greatest run I've ever seen a pitcher personally in my lifetime go through when he's pitching. But he's also like this, like, we talk a lot about all the other, I guess, caveats or the things that occur, David, with, you know, the era that is the three true outcomes, but the increase in velocity is going to get people hurt, right? Like, it's cool. You can train your arm to go 100 miles per hour, but how often can you do that before you get hurt?
Almost all the time when the pitcher is throwing like that, they're going to get hurt. There's going to be exceptions. But Jacob DeGrom, you said something funny just now, that it's the best run you've seen in your lifetime. I'm pretty sure that a caveman would say that, because it's the best run in the history of anybody's lifetime, what Jacob DeGrom is on right now. It's unheard of. I mean, it's actually unheard of. I think doesn't he have more RBIs than runs allowed?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Look, he was going to have 22 strikeouts yesterday if he didn't leave that game in the third.
It's hard to extrapolate like that. You sound like our owner, crowd who is doing well, would say, "Hey, he was about to break the record with 29 strikeouts," and you'd laugh. But he every day, every time he pitches, you're worried he's going to get hurt, and that's no fun for the fans. It's no fun for the owner. It's no fun for the team, because you want your best player playing every 5 days, and going three innings, while it's nice to get on the radio and to talk about it, and it's nice for the highlight shows, the reality is it's not nice for the Mets, because it screws up your bullpen, and it doesn't make for a long-lasting run toward a division or a World Series. So DeGrom, unless he can start going deeper into games and stop leaving and stop getting hurt, then what is it all worth?
Since we mentioned at least some of the other two theories, and you mentioned some of the stuff about driving money down, at least money in it, right? That's why people start using performance enhancers under any circumstance, including spider tech. I got to at least ask you about what Pete Alonso had to say about a week ago or so about the whole theory about how they might manipulate the baseball based on what a free agency class looks like. Look, I think there are a lot of smart people in baseball, David. I'm sure you were part of that club. That's deep conspiracy theory if I've ever heard one.
Yeah, so what we used to do is that we would make a list of every single free agent, and then we would keep track of what we thought they were going to earn, and then we'd do a balance. And if there were pitchers who were going to earn more, we would inject the ball with the guy that would deaden it. But if there were position players that were going to earn more, we'd inject the ball with stuff that would make it fly, because we wanted to go against what Pete Alonso was saying. We wanted players to get paid more. It is so absurd what he said. That I don't even know where to start. I've spoken to you know, people I've worked with in all those years in baseball. And we laughed because what's the benefit to changing the ball so that certain free agents in a class get paid a little less when we, as the Marlins, as an example, along with 20 other teams, including the Royals, we're trying to be at the margins, right? And to do that, to win at the margins, you have to get players who outperform their contract. And to do that, you have to predict performance. And to do that, you have to try to take away all the variables. There is no chance baseball gets involved in that level of detail with figuring out free agents. Pete sounded, he sounded bitter to me. He sounded like the union put him up to saying something because of what the rancor is between the union and the commissioner. But it just, it defied reason.
Lastly, for me, David, we know here in Kansas City, you know, with what Dade Moore had done in the 2018 draft and certainly going all in on young pitching to hopefully build up this next window for the Royals organization, they've had multiple young pitchers from 2018 already come up and make some starts. Some certainly have had success. There's been a couple, at least in their first three or four starts, it's been about as bad as you could have early on. With what we're talking about here today with the baseballs and substances and all that, how bad a timing is this for an organization to be trying to have some young pitchers come up when you're trying to deal with what's going on with what kind of grip they can have with substances and things like that?
Yeah, the Marlins are in the same position, right? They have a great young pitching staff, and it doesn't much matter as they're, you know, way below 500. And Kansas City, I feel worse for you guys because you started off in a way that you may have thought that you could outperform this year and sort of got ahead of yourself. But the reality is, over the course of 162 games, there's regression to the mean. But the Royals have a decent foundation. There's no question. But if those pitchers all got success because of performance-enhancing substances, and the rules are changed in a way that makes them lose their spin rate and lose some command, then it's going to be a terrible situation, but not just for the Royals. There's about 10 teams that'll feel the same way as you do right now.
David Sampson, former Marlins team president. Check out his podcast, Nothing Personal, a show there on CBS Sports HQ. Always appreciate the insight, David. Thank you so much for the time.
Have a great day.
There you go. David Sampson joining us here on Cody and Gold.
Conspiracy Perfect. Theory confirmed. They inject the baseballs to change the free agency class. He said it himself.
Yeah.
Former team president. No, I just...
He's like, yeah, he's like, we were talking to some other former execs and people around baseball. Like, we just laughed at it.
30 owners to like all go in on this thing together.
Look, when he puts it like that, he's like, yeah, we had this spreadsheet and, you know, we're injecting the baseball. Like how ludicrous Pete Alonso does sound when he says that. I think there's some truth to have owners come together and manipulated things in the past. Yeah, we know what's happened in the past. It absolutely has happened. But the Alonso's exact example just seemed... Whew,
particularly crazy.
Way out there. But it's interesting from David Sampson. He thinks baseball, that the memo they sent out saying we're going to suspend guys for 10 games and all this kind of stuff, he's like, they need to scrap that. That needs to be gone quick. That's just not realistic. That shouldn't be happening.
Like the Super League. Just retract
hours,
immediately?
Be done with it.
That was the shortest lived league ever. It lasted less time than the AAF.
Way less. Less in a day.
Yeah. Well, the AAF didn't make it that long, right? Was that the shorter one or was it the
No, other? No, no. They play games.
Okay.
The Alliance. I went to a San Antonio.
Yeah, like they played games.
Commanders, whatever the hell the team name was, I don't know.
You don't even remember now.
I think San Antonio Commanders sounds about right.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
Let's say that.
I think so. Yeah.
Look, but they, I agree with you. They should have, at the very least, expedite. Just put like, I know it just sounds stupid, but just stick some sunscreen and rosin on a towel for behind the pitcher's mound for now. That they can rub the ball with.
Yeah, like, I mean,
give them something for now while you work on the solution of what can be used. But everyone seems to agree. Everyone in baseball agrees with the same thing he's saying. What happened was very simple. This is your fault. You took it too far. Now it's a performance enhancer, not just for... You all claim it's just for grip, but some people are using an alternate to that, and now we have to put a stop to it. If you'd just been cool with sunscreen and rosin, we could have stopped there, but you're like, what else gives me a grip? Now it turns out I can spin the ball way more. Okay, and you took it too far. So, like, they have to stop it. But, yeah, just give them some, like, substance in the interim.
And that the last point he was making, and he said, you know, there's about 10 teams in the same boat as the Royals, but we know the Royals with all these young pitchers that they're trying to have called up. And I'm not saying that's why Coars looked rough and why Lynch has looked rough. But
no, I don't know.
We have no idea. But just if that's actually something that any of these pitchers were using to their advantage, which we're not saying they were, but that's a problem for the Royals and a lot of other teams because it's going to be a massive adjustment. But everybody seems the one thing they can agree on too is besides what you pointed out, is that there needs to just be one universal substance allowed. And the sooner baseball can get that part figured out, the better. But that they shouldn't be suspended.
Just make money. Like he's talking about, like everyone took a bath during COVID. Just make money. Get an official sunscreen sponsor for this thing.
What do the batters get to use?
Pine tar.
Yeah, keep using the pine tar.
Steroids. They get to use those
for a while. Just keep using the pine tar. Their helmets are covered in it.
And that's the same advantage as getting pitchers for grips?
I think so.
The hitters say for the most part, the hitters seem to be okay with the pitcher having a grip on the baseball. It's when all of a sudden it went from it was spinning 3,000 revolutions per minute to like 6,000 revolutions per minute. They're like, look, we don't love that because now the baseball's doing insane things which make it impossible to hit. And baseball does have an offense problem, and this probably won't solve it alone, but they got to do something about it.
Don't forget, coming up next Thursday, a week from today, be sure to find some time to ditch work a little bit, make plans. Maybe the stomach's starting to hurt a little bit. You got to get out early for
just
lunch.
Just work on your excuse. Not sales call, man. That's always it. You got sales call.
You can join us in Miller Lite out at KC Live next Thursday. That's the 24th to watch the Royals take on the New York Yankees. We'll have all kinds of giveaways, Royals tickets, autograph swag, ice cold beer. Of course, yard games, ballpark food, you name it. And guess what? It's all free. So come on out there next Thursday. We'll be out there because we'll get off the air a little early for some Royals baseball, which will be here on 610. And then join us at KC Live. We'll be watching the game on the big screen there, hanging out, having some drinks. Hopefully everybody joins us.
Free admission to hang out. Then all you got to do is, like, come on, sit by, hang out. I told you, I'm going to, like, middle of the day, middle of the normal work day for me, be like noon with a Miller Lite in my hand, Gold. No questions. It's going to be ideally less hot than today. I think there's almost no chance it
won't
be. What's
it supposed to be today?
I think the heat index is like 115 today. Dusty's still going to hit the golf course and just
sweat it out. Just sweat it all out.
Why, man? You might.
Yesterday I was.
There was one time in my life I went golfing and quit in the middle. Like hole 16. I'm like, I can't take it anymore. It's too hot.
You're on 16. You didn't. You made it that far.
It was unenjoyable.
Should have said you were on 6 and just fabricate the story a little bit more.
Yeah, so you were on 16. You made it that far.
I was done. Yeah. Okay. It was too much.
Now, what was your score? If you had a good score, you're not stopping.
You don't say normal.
Your score was normal.
It wasn't comically bad. It wasn't like I was having the worst round of my life. It was just so hot. It was unenjoyable.
He was probably pushing 90 with 4 holes left.
That wouldn't shock me.
That's fine. The average golfer shoots 100.
That's
by the way, US Open's underway. They had a little delay today because of the fog and everything out there. But what Molinari is tied for first, just very early going out there. But there's what four-way tie atop the leaderboard currently out there. US Open. Torrey Pines. Who did Witt told us? John Rahm, who is the betting favorite. He said John Rahm is who he's going for this week.
Did you put in a bet?
I did not this go around.
Come on, man. I don't
like betting favorites.
You feel stupid when Rahm wins. Well, finishes in the top 5. We'll you feel real stupid well, then, that, well, won't
t-
you?
He might finish in the top 5. I wasn't going to do a bet for him to win. And top 5, it wouldn't have been the odds wouldn't have been great value-wise.
Gary,
I could have gone at plus 900 to win as of last night, and I didn't put in a bet. Send this one out. No bets on golf this week.
If he wins, I'm going to give you a hard time.
That's fine. I won't lose any money.
Won't win it either.
That's right. Do you have any money on anybody?
No, I just golf's so fishy, just because like the guy that's coming in hot, and then like the very end, it could be like Kokrak versus somebody that you've never like DeChambeau, who you've heard of, but like it's just I don't know. Golf's like a tough one to kind of narrow down when it comes. You have to like know the course, you know how the golfer plays. Like I didn't have time.
You definitely have to do research when you're betting on golf. It's not as simple as they all just take the best guy. Because it truly is different for every week, and the weather element, everything plays a role in just how the guy is playing. And then occasionally you'll have Phil Mickelson win, who had no indication of him playing well, and then just goes out of nowhere and runs away with the PGA Championship.
That's how I would bet on golf, is I would just take a guy who's done well in the U.S. I think Phil's got like 7 like runner-ups and won the U.S. Open.
Of course.
So like, I mean, I think if you're best, you just in golf, you play the best odds game when you bet. Like, you're like, oh, he's 50-1. He's a well-known name. I'll take Phil.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's definitely people that do that. Hey, coming up in about 9 minutes, your next chance at $1,000 in our national cash contest. Then we'll get to the Chiefs Red half hour and something Clyde Edwards-Helaire had to say. And maybe we were just a year too early when it comes to our expectations for Clyde. We'll explain that coming up in just a little bit. But the folks over at Eater.com, they were going through and said, you know what, these are the essentials, Cody. These are the essential travel spots. And one of them, of course, included the essential restaurants in Kansas City. They did a top 26 because top you can't do 25. You got to do a top 26 places. What are they missing? Just to give you an idea, here's some of the places that are on
there.
And
let's make this non-barbecue because
well,
like,
they have a couple barbecue.
But if I say, what are you missing? And then I just let you include barbecue. Someone's going to say Jack Stack. Someone's going to say Joe's because neither of those are on
Nothing wrong with that, by the way,
someone's
at all.
Say,
those are good answers.
Those are both. Look, and Harp Barbecue's on here, which is fantastic. I'm not saying barbecue doesn't have its place, but I feel like if I just say what's missing and I give you barbecue, you're just going to say Slaps. Next thing you know,
it's a barbecue list.
I got you. Yeah, exactly.
913-576-7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. So we'll go through some of these, and you can tell us if we're missing anything. This is from Eater.com. They said the 26 essential restaurants to go to in Kansas City. So number one, they listed Garozo's, which makes all the sense. You can debate whether it should be one or not, but Garozo's, chicken spadini, come on now. You can't go wrong there with Garozo's. Then Happy Gillis Cafe and Hangout.
Fantastic
spot. I haven't been there. Pigwitch and Local Pig was number three. Then the Campground was on there. Golden Ox was on there, obviously. And then I'll let you keep going through because you've seen more of these. What Novels on there? Town Topics on there, for example.
Maybe some of the places you suspect. And look, you know, you can send us your list because you're certainly not going to know every.
I'm not going to name all 26. Yeah,
like Waldo Ties further down the list or the Peanut. So some of the places you would anticipate are on there. I want to know the restaurant you don't think should. Like, you think it's missing from this list. 913-576-7610. I got a couple, but I'll hear yours first.
Yeah, so I went through all 26 here, and I probably only ate at, honestly, six.
I probably eaten at, like, 17 of these
About
places.
Six,
I got a list.
Six of these restaurants, and yeah, this is good. This is perfect. You're trying to find different places to go, and there are, as you said, a couple barbecue plates. Most of them on the list I've been to are the barbecue restaurants, other than Garozo's.
Like, and you've been to San Antonio Market.
I have. That was a recent addition after I went to a couple of those. We talked about that a few weeks ago, or probably about a month ago. No Anthony's is on this list. Anthony's,
never been.
Downtown, cool vibe, really good food. Anthony's should be on this list. I haven't had it in a little while. In fact, Dusty and I were talking about this before the show. Anthony's just is a really cool place to go have a meal, and the food's fantastic. Just really good Italian food and just nostalgia. And just it's just a really cool atmosphere there in around downtown KC.
Never been.
I can't believe you've never been, though.
Never
that is
been.
Surprising.
Speaking of KC, some breaking news that Kenny Chesney has now announced that he will continue his Here and Now stadium tour on July 2nd at Arrowhead. He heard the Garth Brooks news and ran.
He's like,
He jumped in line?
I can sell 75,000 tickets too, maybe?
No, he can't, but he can try. But he will be here at Arrowhead, at GEHA Field, Arrowhead Stadium. I got to get used to that.
Mm-hmm.
On July 2nd, 2022. Back to the food.
2022.
Yeah, he went a year early so he could try to catch up to Garth.
He gets a year to sell his tickets. Garth can sell them in 2 days.
In 10 hours.
Kenny Chesney will sell his too. I've got several. One, I've mentioned multiple times in the show, El Pollo Rey. The fact that it's best chicken it's in the damn
The smell
city.
As you just walk as you walk from your car in is just fantastic.
I demand to mention that place until every listener on this show has gone down there and eaten that chicken.
That's a place where you get your food to go and it still doesn't make it to your house. You're like, well, just open the box and while I'm stuck in traffic.
I ate it in the car. That's like the one time I didn't eat it in there. I ate it in the car. Absolutely.
If you have to stand in there for 15 minutes to wait for to-go order, you just smell like it the rest of the day. I don't even change clothes.
Fine.
Just
fine.
Live my life.
The smell is great.
I would say Bay Boy sandwiches is a missed opportunity on here. There's a couple of other like deli style sandwiches. Oh man, that big crunchy bread. That's what's up. I would absolutely mention there. Soiree Steakhouse and Oyster Bar. That's a downtown spot that I think has like great food. JJ's. All those not mentioned. And look, there's always going to be some that aren't mentioned. I don't blame Liz Cook, the author of this. How dare you leave these places off? Those are just the ones that would be on my personal list.
Jasper's probably should be on here, too. There's a lot of places.
I would throw San Antone's in there, the taco joint.
They're on there.
Oh, they are on there?
I didn't see it. You're good.
I guess I didn't see it in there.
Again, some of the other ones that are on this Eater's Top 26.
There's a lot of KCK Mexican food.
The Russell is on here. The Gates Barbecue's on here. What
else? M&M Bakery and Delicatessen.
Yeah.
I think the three places I need to get to is Kitty's Cafe, M&M Bakery, and the Kava. That's how you say that.
Sava.
I thought it was Kava.
What about the Antler Room? Should I check that place out?
Champagne and wine.
Feels like kind of a bachelor party vibe, doesn't it? Like kind of like you would drink some bourbon.
One stop on the bachelor party was unfortunately, what's the name of the place? It's escaped me. It closed, unfortunately. It's starts with an M. Oh my god. oh gosh, it's the hotel that closed recently with COVID. Hotel, but it has a bar and has a speakeasy underneath it. It's going to drive me crazy.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Manifesto.
There you go. Manifesto. Thank you. No, that's what I was, exactly what I was thinking.
Savage. Champagne and sparkling wine are the focus of this romantic Westport wine bar.
Take your date.
With a cute patio.
We're
going.
You should take your girlfriend there.
Do you think we could get one of these places for your future date?
Oh, for the crossover dating experience?
Yeah.
Sure. We can probably try.
Get you to a new spot. Just saying, let's mix it up. Let us know. The text line's full of them, by the way.
Supposed to get drinks with somebody else tomorrow, so we'll see how that one goes.
Grinders getting mentioned.
Yeah. Grinders is, yeah.
Anna Room and Corvino were both on there. Someone was asking if they were.
Again, this is top 26. There's great places.
Giovanni's Deli in the Northland. That's like 5 minutes from me. It's solid. Very solid.
Some of these I've never heard of.
El Poblito, very good.
Il Centro, very good.
What's that?
A lot of different restaurants.
Hopcats up there. How good is Tay's Burger Shack, though? Like, that is...
Very good.
That's like best burger in the city, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a good spot.
That's a place you got to go.
Everybody's got their spots, too. You know, top 26 is a tough thing to do because everybody feels like they've got that spot that... you've never had it?
Depending on your part of town, too.
Do get shamed hardcore if you don't go to, like, a restaurant and you lived here for, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
You've never been there?
Yeah. Never had Strouds. The same like 15 spots.
Right. But it is true. If you lived in the Northland, then how many restaurants out south you've been to? Or same for me. I would say the same thing. Some of these places you've named, if they're in the Northland, I probably haven't been there. I grew up out south, so it was less likely that I made my way up north. That's all. That kind of stuff. Coming up next, we'll give you a chance at $1,000 international cash contest. Then we get to the Cheese Shred half hour. Something Clyde Edwards-Helaire said yesterday, and I think maybe we were a year early on what to expect from him.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio. Chiefs Red Half Hour, every day at 11:30 on Cody and Gold.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour, and we'll get to what Clyde Edwards-Helaire had to say about his role this year. Maybe we were a year too early in terms of what we were thinking he could be. Maybe this is the year. We'll explain that in a second, but right now, let's give you a chance at $1,000 international cash contest.
Your dash for the cash code word this hour in the national cash contest is Paige. P-A-G-E, Paige. Just text that over to 72881 to be a $1,000 winner in the national cash contest. Next chance to win coming up at 12:30. Complete rules over at 610sports.com. Message and data rates may apply. That was Paige. P-A-G-E, Paige, over to 72881. The national cash contest is powered by BetQL. Win more and cash in with the help of BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to learn more. That's BETQL.
Next chance at $1,000 coming up at 12:30 here on Cody and Gold and throughout the day on 610 Sports Radio. So last year, in the day that Clyde Edwards-Helaire got drafted, I remember everybody was making comparisons and Brian Westbrook comparisons and looking at how involved Westbrook was in Andy Reid's offense in the passing game. And man, Clyde's going to be lining up all over. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, as we've said over and over, had a very good rookie season, despite people acting as if it wasn't a very good rookie season. He missed a couple games. He still was an 1,100-plus yard running back, right, in total yards, and a rookie in this offense. But I think we were all hoping that he would have been more involved in the passing game. And yesterday, Clyde was talking about his goal for this year.
Everything is based off, you know, the things that we installed. And talking to Coach Reed, ball to the back, and, you know, just get the ball, you know, spread it out more. So, you know, that was one of the things on why I chose to work on my hands and just be more of a threat. You know, it was seen that I can run a ball between the tackles, you know, outside. That was kind of, you know, seen. So just being able to also get out and not just routes out the backfield, but also spread out in a slot position and also the outside wide out position. So, just being able to expand my skill set was my thing.
He had a short offseason, as did every single rookie last year. We knew that, and I felt, considering the short period of time that he had a very nice rookie season. But the offense as a whole, they didn't run a whole lot of screens. How much was at the offensive line? They also didn't have Clyde out. Certainly what he's talking about there, split out as a slot wide receiver or anything. That's exciting. That's intriguing to me for this season, especially as we talk about the wide receiver core. And I know you've got your two top weapons are Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, but still your actual number two wide receiver on the depth chart and all that, whoever that may be this year, Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, I don't know, right? Clyde Edwards-Helaire might be a way to supplement that a little bit if you don't have that clear-cut answer. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, yes, he's primarily your running back, but if you're telling me there's going to be some times where he can start in the backfield and motion out and line up in the slot or start lining up in the slot, I'm really intrigued by that, especially given the fact that we expect Patrick Mahomes to have some more time.
Intrigued, sure. I would say that as much as I want Clyde Edwards-Helaire involved in the passing game, and I do, I like it less when it comes in the slot if it's too often. I make this point because of what, like, the Jaguars said when they drafted Travis Etienne. They're like, oh, we'll just spread him out wide all the time. I'm like, you could have done that with a wide receiver that you drafted. If you wanted a wide receiver, draft a wide receiver. Wide receivers are going to be better at being wide receivers than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, look, there's an advantage to this. You stretch him out.
Exactly.
And I understand, like, when you're taking advantage of that mismatch, I trust Andy Reid to design it in a way where he is taking advantage of that. But the more involved I want is swings, screen passes, routes out of the backfield. That's where I want, and that's where he wasn't particularly involved last year. Like, in a dream scenario for you and I, especially now that they don't have a third wide receiver to feed, right? They don't have that extra mouth to feed after Kelce and after Hill. They, you know, it's a bunch of guys, being honest, right? It's DeMarcus Robinson, it's Mecole Hardman, it's Byron Pringle, it's
Callaway,
it's Cornell Powell. And look, I'm not saying they're all, like, there is a tier ranking even below that, right? Or above that where, hey, yeah, McColl's going to get more looks than, or DeMarcus is going to get more looks than some other guys. But I just want to see it more out of the backfield. I do think last year's offensive line play probably had something to do with it. But I also think that Patrick Mahomes has admitted before he has a problem checking down. Like, there aren't many things you can complain about with Patrick Mahomes. But he consistently brings up the fact that he does not throw the shorter routes occasionally when he should. So, like, we have to admit that part of where, you know, Clyde can grow in there is Mahomes' willingness to throw it to him.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, without taking to the extreme, and you're talking about, like, hey, if you're going to have guys in the slot, well, then you just should have gone and got a wide receiver. But I just continue to go back what our conversations were like the night he got drafted and the day after. And a lot of our excitement was not just his athleticism as a running back, but it was what he was going to bring to the passing game and all the different looks he can give defenses. Didn't see as much as that last year as we would have liked. Hearing Clyde talk about, at least at the end of that cut we just played you, saying, I could be, you know, lined up on the outside receiver, I could be in the slot. Like, that's not what he was saying last year. That's what we all thought. Like, when sure, he was drafted, that's what we all had in our minds. Like, oh, I'm sure Andy's going to do this. And it just didn't happen for whatever reason. And whether it was just what they felt confident and trust. We talked this early this week all about trust and Le'Veon Bell. And clearly Andy Reid ultimately did not trust that Bell could be a good fit. And they didn't trust that he'd be in the right spot. Maybe they didn't trust last year that Clyde could be as an outside receiver at times, could be in the slot. It sounds like maybe there's more trust there. It's year two. It's a guy that's now going to have a full offseason. He knows what it's like to be an NFL player, all of that kind of stuff. So I'm really excited and intrigued to see how they go about doing this. And then for that matter, what that means for the rest of the weapons offensively, if you're going to have that different look for Kansas City this year, something we didn't see. And this is why you always have faith about Andy Reid's ability, despite whatever the personnel may be, that he's always, every offseason, there's going to be something fresh that teams have never seen before in the NFL. He you know, and what teams will eventually probably steal from them at some point during the season. And that's why Andy Reid is so good in September. It's why Patrick Mahomes, other than just his God-given ability, that's why he's undefeated in September and he doesn't throw interceptions in September. They're ahead of everybody else the first month of the season. And then at times, of course, you got to have the adjustments.
Like Eric Fisher told us, like, where screen game is really reliant from year to year on if it's a feel thing. It's like a curveball in baseball. The way he was describing it, either you have it or you don't. Either screens are working or they're not. And most of the time in Andy Reid's career, we've seen screens work. Last year, they didn't. I saw them throw some screens. They sucked. They were a bad screen team last year.
I think we know now the offensive line. I mean, I think as the season went on, we found out what the issues with the offensive line.
And that wasn't their strength.
This year, I think the expectation has to be that that's something that should be more part of the offense. So I was excited to hear that from Clyde Edwards-Helaire yesterday. And then as far as Tyreek, we've mentioned him a little bit during this conversation. We know that Sammy Watkins has to be replaced, and you can say, all right, well, he wasn't healthy all the time, but still, when he was healthy on the field, for the most part, he was effective and all that. And this is what Tyreek thinks life's going to be like without Watkins and what it means for the rest of the receiving core.
I mean, it's definitely going to be tough, you know, but I definitely feel like as the season go on, you know, guys will begin to feel that void, you know, that Sammy, you know, was feeling. So, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, having Pat, having Kelsey, you know, having a great offensive line definitely helps, you know, because you got other guys to mentor, to mentor those guys. So, I mean, McCole has played, D-Rob has played, you know, in Super Bowls, Pringle. So, I mean, I feel like, I mean, we're going to be all right. Like, we've been playing football our whole entire lives, so it's nothing new for us, you know.
And it helps when Patrick Mahomes is your quarterback. Like, if I'm a wide receiver and
Travis Kelce is your tight end,
you're going to feel good that he's going to be able to elevate. I mean, that's the, I was on a Cleveland radio station yesterday, and they asked, hey, is there anything that Chiefs fans are concerned at about Patrick Mahomes? And even the host that asked the question, and his co-host was like, that's a dumb question. I said, I don't know, it's like a dumb question. I was trying to be nice, but if there is a question, other than what you brought up about the downfield stuff versus short, only thing I would say is, like, can he elevate the other receivers? And he still has Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but is he able to, by himself, elevate the receivers? Naturally, if you're as good as Patrick Mahomes, you're going to elevate everybody around you anyway. But can he do what other quarterbacks have been asked to do? Yeah, exactly. What Aaron Rodgers has been asked to do at times? That's the extreme example, and that's why Aaron Rodgers, among many reasons, is unhappy. But yeah, can he elevate? Other quarterbacks in the league are expected to do that. That would be the only small question.
Look, truthfully, play out the rest of his career. Like 20 years from now, Patrick Mahomes, will he ever have a better duo than Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? One's a Hall of Famer, and one is
on the track for it. If he plays like this for another four years,
wide receivers are tough. That's a tough.
Yeah, but
if he keeps doing what he's doing, then yes, he's not off. He's not off career path to do that. Travis Kelce's already a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's done.
Travis Kelce retires tonight. He's a Hall of Famer tomorrow. I know that there's a waiting rule. Just ignore the actual time. You know what I mean. But he may never do better than this duo. So like asking him to pick up the third guy, who just so happens to be a former second-round pick, or the fourth guy who happens to be a former fourth-round pick, or another fourth-round pick you spend in Cordell Powell, it's not asking him to throw to complete nobodies.
Yeah, but also, I mean,
I don't know, you're going to be like, well, Tyreek Hill was a fifth-round pick. Yeah, but we know he's a star now, right? We know he's one of the top five wide receivers in the NFL. I know what he was, but we know what he is. And so, like, he's never, like, I don't think it's asking too much for Patrick Mahomes to pick up the third wide receiver this year, or to get it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like, what Tyreek Hill's talking about to me makes a lot of sense. I think that's also why they echo a lot of what he says. Like, Tyreek Hill, you know, one of the cuts he'd said yesterday was like, yeah, we back up Patrick Mahomes saying that our goal is 20-0. Yeah, to me, that makes sense to me. Because, like, why wouldn't you back him up in this scenario? All they're asking is, like, one more receiver to take a leap.
And while you can say, yeah, these are the best wide receivers in terms of, if you're adding Travis Kelce, that makes it as far as duo that he's going to have, perhaps, this offensive line, I can tell you on paper, it's the best offensive line he's had a chance to play in front of. It sure seems like that by far when it's all said and done.
And it's hard because I'm trying not to like be like prisoner of the moment, because they had Eric Fisher, who I thought was like the 15th best left tackle.
He was an underrated left tackle.
And they had the best right tackle in football.
Sure.
And they had good center play at times. So like, it's not like they had a trash offensive line. I mean, look, they were making do it left and right guard for a long time.
It was a middle of the road offensive line last year,
though. Yeah. I'm not confident yet that this one is above that until I see it in action a little bit. On paper, it is better than this.
I will be frankly stunned if we're not sitting here by week 10, if not earlier, and saying, man, this offensive line is drastically better than what it was a year ago.
But you said like any offensive line he's ever played under. Because 2 years ago, right, the offensive line was LD, or 3 years ago, the offensive line was, hey, LDT in probably his best years, a very good Eric Fisher, an incredible Mitchell Schwartz, really good center play. So all I'm talking about here is left guard. Like 3 years ago in that 50 touchdown, 5,000 yard year, offensive line was good. I'm not saying it was dominant, but it was a good offensive line. I'm not definitively sure this offensive line is better, but if it is what you're saying, a whole nother reason why he shouldn't be worried about the third wide receiver spot. If this is going to be the offensive line he plays with, the best tight end he's ever going to play with, maybe one of the better wide receivers he ever played with, there's no excuses.
Text line.
Not that he's making them.
913-576-7610 says, hey, he's already elevated his receivers. He's shown he can do that. How many touchdowns were Connelly, Harris, and Robinson catching when Alex Smith was quarterback? So they're saying that that's essentially he's been able to elevate.
And look, Kelsey's having some of his best years, but Kelce was great with Alex Smith. So was Hill.
Yeah, I mean, I think the difference would be was elevating to guys to get contracts for 1 year. I mean, Albert Wilson owes
Patrick Mahomes. Albert Wilson paid.
So I think
for one game he got Albert Wilson paid.
So
that was incredible.
There's definitely some truth to that from that texter, that he's gotten some other guys paid in other markets. Now, you know, were those guys asked to be the ever a number two wide receiver? Were those guys more number three wide receivers? Either way, yeah, he's done it to a certain extent, and now he's going to potentially, if Mecole Hardman wants to at some point get an extension in Kansas City after his rookie contract, this year is a massive year for him.
He might get Mecole Hardman paid.
That's, we'll find out, right? We'll find out. Everybody thought he was going to get DeMarcus Robinson paid. That was more just the market and everything. Because two off seasons ago, everybody felt like DeMarcus Robinson was going to go sign with the Jets, remember? And that the Jets were going to give him this 2 or 3 year contract. And here he is. He's back in Kansas City on another cheap one year deal.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately for him, he hit a market where the wide receivers were plentiful. And then he hit the COVID market. The two worst for DeMarcus Robinson, market-wise, from that perspective.
Some bad luck.
Yeah, but DeMarcus Robinson's been a productive wide receiver. Look, every wide receiver can't be 1,300 yards and 10 touchdowns. DeMarcus Robinson's been a perfectly fine wide receiver to have in your roster. I don't have any.
Imagine how many more yards he'd have if he went forward, though.
Yeah, more would be the answer to that.
Also, how much money has Dieter collected from Mahomes?
I don't know. League minimum? Which is practice squad for like five years?
Nice.
Look, man, you ought to be like, especially after Aaron Rodgers complained about, said the straw that broke the camel's back was their Garrett Dieter in Green Bay.
Yeah.
If I'm Andy Reid, man, Garrett Dieter can have the job as long as he wants it. Your boys, job's yours, man. I'll hold on to one of the now 16 practice squad spots for you. 16 spots to hold on to Garrett Dieter. He can be employed for the next decade for this team. And if it ever gets down to, they have like 5 injured wide receivers, he's the number one now. Congrats.
Making like $800,000 a year, not bad.
$610,000 is league minimum for the
NFL. And he's probably been,
he's made like, I think, $850,000
in his career.
No. Not like on a, like right here on Spotrac, it's 1 year, $850,000.
Jeez, sign me up to be BFs with Mahomes,
dude. I wouldn't even hesitate if you're like, hey man, can you give me a drink from Sonic? I got you.
Right. Look, and that's not to say he doesn't work.
I'm right in the car, man.
I'll even go between 2 and 4.
I'm not saying he works from Mahomes. I'm saying I would act like I did if that's what it takes.
No, I'm just saying, not to. I, Garrett Dieter, I'm sure, works his ass off to be. I'm not.
He absolutely
so
does.
That's not a question. But yeah, it's, you know, it helps. It definitely helps.
Look, if Mahomes didn't like you, they'd find some other dude to be on the practice squad.
Fair.
If he nothinged you, they might just let you hang. But because you're pals, you know, like, nothing's hurt.
Like, if I'm Tommy Townsend, I am just, like, doing whatever I can to be friends with Mahomes. Even though I'm the punter, and I know that if I'm on the field, it means Mahomes is, like, not being, like,
best punter job in the game, probably.
Without a doubt.
This says, after this year, Garrett Dieter, if SpotTrack's correct, $1.6
million. Good.
If that's correct.
Good for him. I'm happy for Dieter.
Solid
life.
That's
incredible.
Hey, Garrett, when you hang him up, you want to be a weekly on this show? You're more than welcome.
I just do it now.
Love to hear it.
He's not busy.
The Chiefs have a whole thing text about like, says, active player shows.
Text line says Garrett Dieter's been doing boxing at a local place in town. Apparently he's in great shape.
No one's debating if he's in shape or if he's hard. He just doesn't really have to be a star receiver to make good money. Yet.
Yeah. No, like, he probably works harder than some other guys that are on the team. I wouldn't doubt that at all. What was that? You all right?
Not just. I'm kind of caught between
something else on the end.
What is on the computer over there? It's either food or it's something else. I don't know.
No, it's just the Dieter thing, and then also Pete Sweeney's dad just reaching out to me. He told me to go to Savai. So it's a nice place. And then he said, "Food is good, but the drinks and atmosphere is sexy AF."
Oh,
I like the
take
fact
your girl
that
there.
I'm going to. Yeah. I already sent her the text.
Yeah,
I said we have to go to Savai. Just don't pronounce it Kava.
Did you add the little
ampersand
mark on the bottom of the C to make sure that it was?
I don't even know how to do that.
You just hold the letter on your keypad on the phone.
I learn something new every day.
Yeah. Did you know that?
Don't you ever when you're texting something like with an inye for Spanish?
Yeah,
Mañana, wouldn't you add the inye?
Yeah, I guess I did that the other day for when I typed Bolaños on Twitter. I had to figure that out.
Press and hold.
Or I can just copy the letter from the press release and it's already in there and I'm good to go. We want to know the truth. Make sure I just go ahead and copy that
behind
Bolaños
enemy lines with Alex Gold.
Just go ahead and copy that Bolaños name from the press release. You don't have to worry about it.
That's another.
Don't lie. Don't lie, other media people out there. You've done it as well.
You do it too. Oh, man. I'm down with Savai.
Savai does just sound fancy and nice.
It had me on like champagne and wine and brunch.
There's no hole in the wall named Savai, I'll tell you that.
Is there a better place to be than on a Sunday with champagne for brunch?
Like, sounds dope.
Mimosas and brunch is just where I want to be.
Yeah, I have nothing.
Every Sunday.
not against mimosas for a nice brunch, nice weather, especially if you're on the, near the beach or something. That's
if I
perfect.
Was Garrett Dieter, I'd be having Ace of Spades and Sunkiss every morning. Not Sunkiss, that's pop, but orange juice.
Yeah, there you go. Sunkiss, that'd be like a real big waste
that'd
of
be that. Like a kid's champagne.
That Ace of Spades.
Text line says, wow, I didn't know that either. I always copied and pasted from the internet, referencing the different characters.
Press and hold the letter, and then it will give you all the options. If you need to add a tilde
a
or
what?
Whatever.
I only know, I don't know what a Matilda
you ever
is.
You ever watch Matilda when you were a kid?
Great movie.
Matilda, yeah.
Tilda.
I wanted to make pancakes every time I watched her in the kitchen. Like,
or if
started.
You need to add an
Matilda, great kids movie.
Or if you need to add an umlaut. Any of those are available, but just by pressing and holding.
Or what?
No, that's a fruit.
Rhea Perlman's kind of hot in that movie for some weird way.
Matilda?
Yeah.
What year did she like eight?
97.
Take that back. Just take that back.
No, Perlman is DeVito's wife.
Okay, I was like, are you talking about the kid?
Not the kid.
I was worried you were talking about the kid. I'm like, Dusty.
Mother of hell, Cody. I'm not
that
sick.
You and George, you said kind of for what it was.
Rhea Perlman, I think that's her name. Danny DeVito's wife.
Okay.
They're actually married in real life.
Rhea Perlman, yep.
Yeah, she was not bad in that movie.
Yeah, the mother.
Good.
It's time to get sticky with Mickey. That's the show they watched.
1996.
I don't know that I've ever seen that movie.
Are you serious?
You got to have Matilda.
Ah, man, Ruby would love that movie. You need to show that to your children. They'd love that movie.
It's 98 minutes.
The Trunchbull might scare.
Its budget was $36 million, and it only made $33.5 million.
It was a failure for Danny DeVito. He was a director, producer, and actor in that film.
Never saw it.
Yeah, Matilda.
Great movie. You need to show the kids that
She's a young genius, and she gets neglected and mistreated by her parents.
And some kid has to eat an entire chocolate cake.
That's right. Sounds a lot like you're describing like
his name is
adoptive
Bruce
parents
Bone
of Harry Potter.
No, it's not Harry Potter.
You said it's an adopted Harry Potter? Is that what you said?
I said it sounds like you're describing the adoptive parents.
No, there's no magic involved here.
Cody, you belong to go to the Chokey for not seeing this movie. I'm just keep giving you Matilda.
Why? Just because I didn't?
Yeah, you don't want to go to the Chokey.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that is.
You don't want to piss
off Agnes.
Yeah, that's right.
He'll come after you in the house.
Go watch Matilda this weekend.
Come on.
I'm not going to watch Matilda.
Watch
this
Matilda
weekend.
And make me a pizza, and I'll see you on Monday.
I'm more likely to make you a pizza than watch Matilda.
Gosh, I would
I'm
going to
be at the lake. I'm not
you can
watching.
Make pizza at the lake.
I can make pizza at the lake. I'm not watching Matilda at the lake.
Up next, you'll hear from Andy Reid. He was asked about Le'Veon Bell's Instagram comments, plus Tyrann Mathieu. Maybe you're feeling better about his extension possibilities. That's next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.